You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the weekly William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us again. It's Dave Kellner here alongside Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall, getting set for two events. This week we've got the Tshwane Open on the European Tour and the AT&T Pebble Beach on the Pro-Am on the PGA Tour. First of all, a warm welcome to Mr. Dave Tindall. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hello, Dave. I'm back in the studio after last week's Skype.
It works well on Skype, doesn't it?
Did it? I don't know.
I think it works. I don't want you in the studio ever, yeah, but I think it works.
Loaded comments.
Dropping a hint there.
I think it works okay on Skype as well. It sounded good last week. And Mike, you're back again with us as well.
Thanks, Dave.
Which is good news. Good news. What about last week? Hideki Matsuyama beating Ricky Fowler in the playoff in the Phoenix Open, and Fowler had problems with the 17th hole, and that cost him both in regulation and then in the playoff.
For sure, yeah. He's been in the water 9 times on that hole, did I hear someone say.
Is that right? I know he's had trouble historically on that par 4
twice,
as well.
Twice, didn't he, on the final round, so, and in the playoff. He looked like he had it in the bag, but all of a sudden the wheels came off, if anything, slightly unfortunately, because it had a lovely shot, just hit it too well, didn't he? But could argue maybe he should have took a 3-wood and played a bit more sensible. So maybe his caddy needs to have a little look at himself there. But they were both brilliant in the playoff if you watched it.
That's it.
The putting was fantastic. They showed a lot of bottle, both of them. So I wouldn't give Fowler any...
No, I think he did a lot of good stuff still.
He
showed he's good in a finish, even though it looks on the one hand like he blew it.
Well, just a little bit of... Yeah, there's some real good clutch putting in it. Yeah, so it was
a fantastic playoff, wasn't it, really, until Fowler took 3-wood off the tee in the playoff and hit that roping draw that went into the water. And I think he just hit his drive, as you mentioned, just hit it too well. One unfortunate bounce. He didn't think, I'm ever going to go right through the green and hit the water
that
side.
Adrenaline and what have you. So I'd forgive him that, to be fair. They both did. It was a fantastic playoff. It was really interesting, and they both came out of it with credit, I thought.
And in the European Tour event in the Dubai Desert Classic, Dave, Danny Willett winning again. He had drifted out to 40-1, and we mentioned him quite positively on last week's podcast. He was definitely pickable in the Dubai Desert Classic, and won from Andy Sullivan, who's gaining such a reputation.
Yeah, I think it was kind of a collection of people we were close to putting up but didn't, I think, at the top in the end.
Well, Willett was actually the player I didn't want to win. And I said I'd back him and have a saver on him, and I didn't, which is a bit annoying, my own fault, but he was pickable, wasn't he?
And then you thought I was going to pick
Sullivan,
and I said, well, he was the next one on my list, so it was...
Yeah.
If some buts don't pay the rent, do they?
They don't. Let's get stuck into this week then, chaps, and we'll start with the Tshwane Open on the European Tour, and the market headed by Charles Schwartzel here, 6-1. George Kitsaya 7-1 here with William Hill. Trevor Fisher Jr. is 18-1. Jaco Van Zale is 20s. Brett Rumford, Hayden Porteous and Richard Stearney all 28s. And it's 30-1 and bigger the rest. And the tour returning to South Africa yet again for this championship after 3 weeks of high-quality fields during the Desert Swing. This is undoubtedly more than a little weaker at this event, Dave. And George Kitsaya defending his title, his second favourite behind Schwartzel in the betting. And Dave, you've done your piece for Roto World Golf on this event. And it's the second time in succession Pretoria Golf Club is hosting the championship. Is there anything that stands out statistically from last year's event?
Well, I suppose the big thing, rather than stats, that stands out is that Kurtzy won on his home course, didn't he? I think he grew up playing there when he was 10. It was very obvious. I think, from memory, he was the same price that he is this week, 7-1. And it did seem a very easy 7-1 win last year. I had a few quid on him. So I'm not having a bet in this event, but if I was, if someone said, well, here's a free bet, I'd put it on him again, I'd have to say, because... Yeah. It's a weak field, isn't it, after last week? And he's been playing pretty well in the desert, didn't he? Finished, I think, tied 7th in Qatar. after his injury, kept him out of the second half of the season. So I think he's a pretty obvious pick, but it does feel like a bit of a come down, doesn't it, after the Desert Swing?
It does, and Mike, this golf course last year, pretty short golf course, only measures 6,800 yards, and having debuted last year, only one set of form lines to go on, even though this has been used on the Sunshine Tour in the past as well, this golf course.
Well, this is a Sunshine Tour event.
It is, isn't it? Basically.
Yeah, with a few Europeans thrown in for good measure. But yeah, it's not great quality. It's somewhere a hybrid between the two tours, isn't it? And it doesn't fascinate me, really. It's not a great field. No bet.
No bet for me either. I must admit, if you are, or if I was thinking about having maybe doubles this week or looking towards the top end of the market, I do think George Kutsaya has got an outstanding chance. So I was quite tempted to put him up at 7-1. I think it's a decent price, actually. I'd expect one of those guys towards the top of the betting to win. You see repeat winners historically in these sort of South African
events. How many wins has he got?
Just two, I think. But the fact that it's his home course gets him over the line a bit, I would say, if you were thinking about a bet. The amount of those, the standard of tournament that sort of Schwartz and Oosthuizen have won down the years suggests it's the cream, doesn't it? It just picks it off.
Yeah. Was there anyone else that you quite liked?
Well, some
field?
Of them young lads have been playing well, like Brandon Stone, who's won.
Hayden Porteous.
Hayden Porteous, who played well again last week.
It'd be worth watching to see how they
play. See how they kick on.
It's definitely worth watching, but just the prices are quite compressed, really. Well,
Christian, Bezuidenhout, Xander Lombard, they've all featured, haven't they? Maybe they're the next wave, so it's just whether they can do it regularly.
Not one bet in the event for me, anyway.
No.
It's a first.
This is undoubtedly the show. I'm just looking at the clock here. We spent about 3 minutes reviewing the events last week, and this is the shortest ever preview for a golf tournament.
Let's go.
So the Tshwane Open, 6-1 Schwartzel, Kutsaya 7-1, Trevor Fisher Jr. 18-1, Jaco van Zyl 20s, and it's 28-1 and bigger the rest. No bet here in the studio, but do get your bets on by 4:30 pre-tournament AM, that is, for the Tshwane Open. Much better event on the PGA Tour. This is what we've been looking forward to. The AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am is this week's PGA Tour event, and Jordan Spieth is back in action. He's 5-1 to win this week here with William Hill. Jason Day is 9-1, Dustin Johnson is 10s, Brant Snedeker 12-1, Bubba Watson 18s, Jimmy Walker 18-1, Phil Mickelson 20s, and it's 25-1 and bigger the remainder. And this is the annual stop at Pebble Beach for the Pro-Am, and it is an event that polarises opinion, Mike. Incredible scenery.
Yet another course I've been to, David.
Yes, yet another course you've been to.
He'll have been, won't he?
Been there twice.
And the odd man out, sat in the middle here. And it's a top-class field.
He's got to go
one better, hasn't he? But players and fans alike, I think, they'll put up with the amateurs this week.
You backed me into a corner and I came out fighting, I think.
No, I knew you'd been.
Some do embrace it, but others find it rather long and tedious, some of the rounds here.
Yeah. The amateurs don't make for great TV, as we've said many times.
It's the same people they show, isn't it, every time as well?
Yeah.
That Chris Berman, is it? And him off... Ray Romano.
He's on it all the time, isn't he?
Yeah.
As far as the golf events,
it's a great event though. It's a fantastic event.
Field's unbelievable. And the host course is Pebble Beach. If you make the 54 hole cut, you get two rounds at Pebble Beach, and every single man in the field gets one round at Spyglass and Monterey Peninsula. The weather wasn't a factor last year, Mike. Brant Snedeker came here and shot 22 under for four rounds. But it can be. Yes. If the wind does blow, you need to be either on Spyglass or... that's the commonly held belief, that you need to be on Spyglass.
Well, Spyglass is more tree-lined,
isn't it? Monterey
Peninsula,
yes, it is.
Monterey can be a bit windy, though, can't it? I think it's a bit easier.
I think it's the easier course, and that's why... You just don't want to be on Pebble Beach when the wind really blows.
No, it's very exposed. But it's those of us who've been...
Yeah, we know this. When did you go, Mike? I'm sure
a couple of years ago.
More recently than me.
Yeah, not to a tournament. I was just went down to have a look around it. But
did you sort of stand at the 18th?
Yes.
That's the kind of the moment when you realise, God, this is good.
But funnily enough, I did have a look at Spyglass and Monterrey a little bit to them as well. So yeah, it's the wind is important. The draw when you get what course, it's for that reason it's worth having a look at the day by day betting. You know, if you've a feeling that it's going to be very windy at Pebble, for example, you know, and you've got players that are going well that are somewhere else, you can play them up or do something different.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth having a look at in running after the event. You know, after each day, I always
good in play event.
Good in play event.
Although isn't it meant to be fairly calm from what Rob Bolton was saying?
It looks that way, doesn't it? That is an advanced weather forecast. We're recording this 48 hours before tea time.
Can switch. A lot can change, can't it, pretty quickly.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, you've got till Saturday. Saturday's round is quite a way away, isn't it?
Speaking about this event from a better, or this golf course from a betting perspective as well, we've seen some incredible events here. I remember being on Dustin Johnson when he chucked away the 2010 US Open at Pebble Beach and McDowell stepped in. That was one of his worst days on the golf course ever, Johnson. And Mickelson, when he won in 2012, he came from four or five back, I think, playing alongside Tiger Woods. Yeah. And that was billed as a real head-to-head battle. And Mickelson eclipsed Woods on that occasion. Can make for fantastic viewing this golf course. And you get some real swings in the final round, which I love.
Got a lot of repeat winners, don't you?
Yes.
You mentioned a few of them there. Johnson's won multiple times here. Mickelson has, Woods,
Snedeker.
Very interesting.
I think it's
Americans have got an incredible, and I know you'd expect that, but Americans have got an incredible record here as well.
Yeah, I think the sort of formula is an American with brilliant course form in this event.
Yeah. Do you think wedge play is key as well? Because you can kind of, looking at this statistically, you get away with it from the tee. It's not what you do off the tee that's the significant factor here. It's how you play your second shot into the into the holes.
Greens in regulation, you've got to put well because you're winning it with about 20 under. Just looking at the last few years, Jimmy Walcombe with 11 under in 2014. But
that got windy, didn't it, that year?
But, you know, there's a few 18, 19, 20 unders. You get to 20 under, you probably win, to be fair, won't you? But you've certainly got to be high double digits under par, haven't you? So, greens in regulation, I agree with you, Dave.
Looking forward to this event. I've got the one pick here.
I've got two.
You go first, Dave. I've got two plus one that I'm definitely going to have a server on rather than a will it server, which I didn't do.
Okay.
Yeah, back to the idea of Americans who've won this before. Phil Mickelson for me.
Right.
As usual, it seems to be the theme, doesn't it? He's been clipped since I walked in, I think.
22s into 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But basically, it's a pretty easy thing to say. He's a four-time winner of the event. We saw Mark O'Meara win it five times. It just, I think I counted up, something like six or seven of the last 14 winners had been winning it for the second time. So does just throw up repeat winners all the time. Mm. Mickelson, last of his wins was 2012. But even last year, I think he was something like fifth or sixth going into the last day. It's just a course where he loves. And he's very, very positive, isn't he? Very bullish about his start to the season.
Yeah.
Was third in the Career Builder Challenge.
Did you back him for the Masters, Dave, when I told you to?
I did have a few quid
at
on him.
What?
33 to 1.
Yeah, it's 25s now, isn't it? Yeah. But even that's a good price.
I don't know if I tweeted that, but
no,
he started the season well.
I don't think you did tweet it.
No,
but you definitely mentioned it to me out there. He has started the
season. I'm encouraged by his form, and he always plays Augusta well. And whether,
I think
each way I thought it was worth a little.
Yeah, I always think I'll never get that next year, and here we are again. And he is that sort of price.
I don't think he'd be I don't think he'd be 33s on the day, will he? No, the way he's going,
especially when he wins this. But yeah, he was
could happen.
He was third in the Career Builder, and he shot minus 21, which shows he's, you know, can pick apart easier venues. Played pretty well last week. He was tied 11th in Phoenix, but he actually said the course isn't like it used to be. It's not a birdie fest anymore. So I think he wants a birdie fest. The way he's playing it, he says he's almost got the ball on a string at the minute. It's not quite true, but it's like Mickelson's spin on it. I think he is really playing well. He sounds very upbeat, doesn't he? Very sort of rejuvenated almost. I just think this is the perfect chance to get him at a decent-ish price. I think Day's not quite right still, is he? But he's helping make the price of others. Spieth, of course, is Spieth, and he might come out and win. But obviously, with the big names there, Mickelson isn't stupid.
You like the
short
price at 20s,
yeah. I thought if he's 20s or more, I'll go in, and he is.
Mickelson, 20 to 1. For Mr. Tindall, I think Mickelson's got a big chance this week, Mike.
Well, you look at the top end of the market there, and there's a lot of them with a good chance, isn't there?
It's such a top-heavy event, this event.
I've gone for one outsider, but I have gone for one of the market leaders, who I just thought was an interesting price. I backed him a couple of weeks ago. Jimmy Walker, he won here a couple of years ago. So I'm looking for him to be a repeat winner.
Yeah.
Fitting in with that nice trend. I thought he played very well in the Farmers, and really, as I think we mentioned last week, was probably a little bit unlucky not to win. If the weather had stayed half decent, I think he would have won that. He's playing very well. Considering he had one awful start to one of the rounds, I can't remember which round it was, but he absolutely terrible start to one of the rounds. So if he can, but other than that, he played really, really well. Great form here. Four top tens in the last 5 years, including that win and a third. Putting well again out of the blue. Definitely a man for the birdie averages. He's always in the top 10 or 20 in those categories. So at 18 to 1, I think he's got a rock solid each way chance this week. I would definitely be backing. I thought long and hard about Jordan Spieth, I have to be honest.
Yeah. I did as well, actually.
I'm still not sure why he's 5 to 1 in some of these events, but I couldn't quite see him as being as strong as the other. Was it, which one was it? The Hyundai, was it? Where, in a smaller field, but I wouldn't argue with anyone who's backing him each way at fives, because he's almost certain to be placed, you think, don't you? But if I wasn't picking him of the leaders, Jimmy Walker will do for me.
Yeah, I was very, very close to just thinking I'll just lump on Jordan Spieth this week each way and almost guarantee, inverted commas, myself a return.
Yeah, seventh and fourth last 2 years.
And when he was
played there when
fourth
he was
in 2014 as well, he was unlucky that year. He shot 78, didn't he, and still finished fourth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he's got a big chance. I'm going to go with Patrick Reed as my number one pick this week.
He's my saver bet.
Yeah, I think 33...
Slightly worried about that injury.
Yeah, I'm as well, but I think it's definitely built into the price at 33 to 1.
Yep.
I do believe that. I mean, he was 8 to 1 to win an event on the PGA Tour a month ago, and he's 33 to 1. Admittedly, this is a much stronger field. And he's definitely not everyone's cup of tea, and I know Graeme Delatt was calling him out on Twitter, wasn't he, following that,
it was an injury,
withdrawal. And I'm inclined to think that the ankle injury might not be too bad there, because he shot the 81 on Saturday in the Farmers, knew the weather was going to be horrific on Sunday, and he might not get he was out in the last group on Sunday, the first group out, he was last in the event, and he probably thought, I'm not waiting around until Monday, Tuesday to finish this off when I'm not going to be in contention. And suddenly, the ankle injury popped up. So I'm not that concerned about that. Definitely got a huge ego, so I think he'll be happy in this field with the likes of Jordan Spieth and Jason Day, looking to maybe show them that he is in that grouping with those guys. He's made the Sunday on all three starts of this championship, top 15s in 2013 and 2014. I just think it's the ideal setup for Reed. Good strong wedge player, very good putter when he's at his best, and we can't forget that a month ago he was posting numerous top tens worldwide, back to back to back to back. I think he'll bounce back this week, and I like him at 33s.
That's a lot of backs. Yeah, I'm back him
33 to 1, and I'm backing him. Yeah. So a point each way, 33s.
Yeah,
I can see that, Dave. He was very nearly won. I nearly went for three picks and included him. I was going to see how he plays that first round. I think you're absolutely right. I'm sure he wasn't that injured, but I just want to see for my own. His form slightly dipped though as well.
Oh, it has, because that career builder challenge, he went off 8-1 in that event and started with three rounds in the 60s, but was not in contention. And then I just get the feeling he's a player when, if he's not in contention, he's not going to run through the field to post like a backdoor top 10 or anything. He's not bothered. I think he's interested in winning now, Reed, and at 33 is worth a go, I think.
Yeah, good player to be 33, isn't he?
Mr. Tindall.
Yeah, well, back to Mike's already put him up, Jimmy Walker.
I'm very much
on the Jimmy Walker train. Mike's said everything, really, just a couple of other bits. When he did win, he was 6 shots clear going into the final round, so he can kind of be dominant on this course. You can see why he does well on it. He can hit it a long way. Doesn't really matter if he goes a bit askew. Great putter on Poa greens as well.
Yeah.
And he's obviously in really good form. I totally agree with Mike. He probably got unlucky with the weather, didn't he, in that other event?
Yeah. Farmers.
Torrey Pines.
Yeah.
Which again was a former US Open course by the sea. It's on the West Coast. He loves this time of year. And I think his price is okay. I think, obviously, like you say, it's top heavy, but I was checking back. If you compare him like with Dustin Johnson, since I think October 2013, Jimmy Walker's won 5 times. Dustin Johnson's won 2.
Mm.
And yet Dustin Johnson will always be shorter than him.
He's a much more fashionable
which
name,
which doesn't
isn't
add
he?
Up, does it? I mean, that's a lot. 5 against 2, that's a big...
Yeah, I think it's that perception of a major contender, isn't he? Whereas Walker hasn't probably contended in enough majors.
No, but he's quite new to them, I guess, isn't he?
Yeah, but, yeah, this isn't a major either, is it? So I'm with you. I mean, Johnson's chances
they're
clear,
obvious,
clear to everyone to see this week, but he's half the price, more or less. So... Yeah, I'd rather, if I went for one of the top three in the market, it would definitely be Jordan Spieth, albeit you wouldn't be surprised to see Dustin Johnson lumbering up to the final green to collect the trophy.
You wouldn't, and you look at Dustin Johnson's course form here. We mentioned that US Open capitulation where he led going into the final round, won this event those 2 years prior to that, or the year in 2010 and 2009. So, and then he's basically, he's a top 10 machine here, isn't he, Dustin Johnson?
But he's not winning as much as his price, you know, would tell you of late. Certainly
that's
the last
fair.
Few years.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Your second pick then, Mike?
I've just gone for this does slightly go against the grain in that we're looking for players who've got really top quality form here, and to be fair, other than some people like Aaron Oberholzer or DA Points, most of the winners are top class, aren't they? I'm not sure you could describe Kevin Streelman as being top class, but I'm going to pick him nevertheless. Good greens in regulation, man. Top 20 this year, top 25 last year. Has got one good finish here in this event, ninth in 2012. Was building up to some no pun intended to some good form this season with an 11th in the Career Builder and a 3rd in the Farmers, but then missed the cut in Phoenix for some reason, which I wasn't quite expecting. But he ticks a few of the boxes, particularly the greens in regulation, and he can deliver birdies. He is a bit hot and cold though. He's one of those players that, I think I've said this about other players in the past, he's one that you wouldn't be surprised to see miss the cut or really go really well.
He's a streaky putter as
streaky,
well.
Streaky, isn't he? He absolutely can come with 5 or 6 birdies on. He's one of those I have in mind. He just seems to do that a little bit. But that suits this event. It's a birdie event. And the key thing is he's 125-1 with a top 10 at the course. A 3rd and 11th in 2 of his last 3 outings in similar quality fields. So I think that's a decent price for Kevin Streelman. It wouldn't surprise me to see him contend strongly here.
Just before we get into honourable mentions then, chaps, we talked through the chances of Spieth and Johnson at the top of the betting. Day, Snedeker, Bubba Watson in there as well.
Yeah, Day's 4th last year, 6th in 2013, 6th back in 2008. So he does play it well. But obviously he missed the cut, didn't he, at Torrey Pines when defending.
He was ill, wasn't he, apparently?
Yeah. I think we forgot to say, when we had our argument, well, our discussion the other week, who's the proper number one, who's the best out of those three, I don't think we mentioned his kind of susceptibility to illness, because he gets his share, doesn't he, beyond his fair share for whatever it is.
Yeah.
You never hear Spieth having flu or just something wrong with him. I think, you know, he's maybe the Daniel Sturridge of golf or something. Maybe not that bad.
Well, he's not that bad.
but it isn't more of a concern. You never sort of think, oh, Spieth, he might not be right, or I know McIlroy did his footing, but sometimes gets a bit...
I think what we've mentioned about Day is we're waiting to see confirmation that the back end of last year wasn't just a purple patch, and we've not seen that yet, Mike, have we, I suppose?
No, I don't think it was just a purple patch, do you? I think he will win more big events and be right up there at the top of the game. I just don't think he's quite as good as the other two in my head at the moment. I'd have him behind McIlroy and Spieth, I just would. But that's great company to be keeping, isn't it? He's a great player, don't get me wrong.
It might be better to back him when he's on a roll.
Would you have him as number one above those guys?
No, I think you're right. I think it's Spieth and McIlroy, whichever order you want to pick
Spieth
them.
Spieth and McIlroy for me at the moment, I have to say.
Yeah.
That way around.
Yeah, okay. Stedeker's going to have to keep out the frame as well. He's got great course form and great recent form.
Two-time winner. Bubba you would maybe take on, wouldn't you?
What about Bubba's comments last week, by the way?
He just messed up that tournament totally, didn't he? He just got into as he's liable to do, a whole...
Yeah.
I can't use the expression, but a whole shambles about whether he liked...
Mouth.
It was just ridiculous. And he was playing pretty well as well. Yeah. So...
He obviously doesn't like the changes that Weisskopf made to that course in Phoenix.
No, he doesn't. But
you just keep that under your hat and keep working away, don't you? He was only being honest, but still, it's got to be detrimental going to an event with that mindset.
And it made the crowd slightly against him, I thought. And
well, they were booing him on 16, weren't they?
They were, and on the Saturday he just didn't look like he was bothered. And actually, he only finished a few shots out of winning. You know, if he'd have tried better on Saturday, I think he might well have gone very close.
That's kind of honest.
That's Bubba, isn't it? That's Bubba. You back him, you know that, don't
there's
you?
There's honesty in this. Just the way his honesty comes across as sour grapes, where if Spieth is honest, it comes more sort of like refreshing honest.
He almost needs someone. He needs some media training, doesn't he, somewhere? You know, just someone to tell him, listen, don't say that.
There's no upside.
Yeah, there's no upside, precisely.
No one needs to know.
Yeah.
Just go and win.
Yeah. Honourable mentions then. Who came closest away from the guys that you've picked, Mike?
Patrick Reed, who I will have a saver on. I think I've got to, because I think everything you said could be right. Mentioned Spieth, who I'm so tempted to just follow him, back him every time. He's 5-1 in every event each way, you know. As a long shot, Aaron Baddeley used to have some good form here.
You know what? I was close to picking him at 150s. That eighth at the Farmers stands out to
it
me
does,
because that doesn't look like a golf course tailor-made for Aaron Baddeley at all.
Whereas this does.
This does.
Yeah, not in the last couple of outings, but he did have a couple of top tens here, 11 and 12. So,
and the 12th in 2013.
Yeah,
great
still
putter.
Decent, isn't it? So, yeah, Aaron Baddeley, he's 150-1.
Yeah.
It's a good while since he won, though, isn't he? You might be looking more top 10, 20 betting, maybe, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I could see him running well. He did miss the cut last week, but I can see him going well at a price. I also looked at Luke Donald, who I think's on the way back. Maybe not quite there yet. 100-1 Luke Donald.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's that big.
Yeah, he looks like he's played here well a couple of times back in the mid-noughties.
Yeah.
2005 and 2006. I'll be interested to see how he goes this week, because you think of strong wedge play and good putting historically, admittedly, with Donald.
Is he putting as well? I'm not sure.
No, he's not not quite putting as well as he used to.
He seems to be just missing the
100-1 he is. Did you have anyone on your mind at big prices?
There's a few at three-figure prices I looked at who were just in good form and have played well at the course before. KJ Choi has got a couple of top fives. He showed it well, didn't he, the other week?
He did.
And then
played okay at Phoenix as well, didn't he?
Yeah, and then a couple of others. James Hahn played well last week, says he likes Pebble, and Bryce Mulder as well has got a really good record at Pebble Beach. Again, he showed it well last week. I think he was tied for the lead at one point. So I wouldn't be surprised if they enter the frame, but there's various markets, isn't there, you could play them in?
Yeah, top 10s, top 20s, things like that.
But I do agree, it is loaded up front, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Looks like it. And
you've just got a lot of... Sorry, mate. You've just got a lot of good players in good form with good course form at the top of the betting.
It's a very, very fair play to the organisers to get all of these guys here in February.
Yeah.
It's not usually quite this strong, is it? So they've all seemed to have turned up the possibles, don't they? It's not an event that Rory McIlroy would ever play, I don't think. So, but most of the rest of them are here, aren't they, that like it? So it makes it very even. Bubba, who doesn't normally play.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to see him on the tournament list this
week. Maybe they want to meet Ray Romano. What do you think?
Love your show.
Bubba is interesting because you can't imagine him being that tolerant for 6.5 hour rounds, can you? With some amateur.
No, you can't. No, I was just looking at the. No, you can't. Can you imagine him watching Bill Murray messing around, putting a hat on sideways and stuff,
falling into a bunker?
That's it. Have a go at Bill Murray every year. I promised myself I wouldn't do it this year. Falling into it again. It's like Groundhog Day.
He did sort of run out. There's only so many jokes you can do on a golf course. And he'd finished doing him in about 1987.
A conservative estimate. Kenny G's there anyway for the music fans, so good stuff.
Thank you, chaps. Let's recap the picks then. The Tashwani Open, this will be quick. No selections for that event.
No bet.
I wouldn't put anyone off doing the doubles with a few of the guys at the top of the betting in there, but no pick. Dave, lead us off with your Pebble Beach selections.
Yeah, I'm going to go a point and a half each way on both Phil Mickelson and Jimmy Walker.
20-1 Mickelson, 18-1 Jimmy Walker.
Yeah, I'll have a point each way on Walker. I'll have a point each way on Streelman. I'll have a little saver on Patrick Reed as well. So, and I'll also have a look at the. I'm going to have a good look at the Champions Tour event this week, the Chubb Classic, I think it's called now, which starts later in the week. So I'd rather bet on that than the Tshwane Open.
That's personally a fair comment. Langer and Monty, 7-1 joints.
Yeah,
here
it's a really good field.
Hills, yeah, very good field. Kenny Perry in there as well. Fred Couples playing. I'll have a point each way on Patrick Reed as my sole selection at 33-1.
Can I throw in that I've just thought of it point?
Okay.
Given what we've said, it's not like I've just thought of it. It's come from our chat, but we're very keen on Spieth, aren't we?
Yes.
And we've almost said Curtsy is going to win the other one. Why not?
A little each way double there. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Quite like that, actually. 7-1 and 5-1, respectively. And remember, you can follow us all on Twitter at mgrenham, at Dave Tindall Golf, and at D Kellner. Make sure you download this via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill and get us on iTunes as well. So plenty of ways to get in contact with us here on the Golf Podcast. And remember to get your bets on for the Tshwane Open and the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And make sure you check out Mike's Twitter account for the bet in the
senior event. Yeah, great feel there, Dave. Really interesting event, and the Champions Tour is really getting going for the season, so yeah, I'll be looking forward to that.
Thank you everyone for listening to the Golf Podcast this week, and myself, Mike, and Dave will be back next week. Good luck with your golf bets here at William Hill.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.